Today is the Sunday after Valentine's Day. Who holds your heart? The gospel scripture for this morning, every week there are four scriptures given to us in the Revised Common Lectionary. I don't always preach from the lectionary, but I currently am preaching from the lectionary, but they always give you an Old Testament lesson, a psalm, a gospel reading, and an epistle reading. And since we're kind of preaching along the epistle reading, we aren't reading the gospel reading. But the gospel reading for this morning, which we did not hear, begins with the words of Jesus, which I would like you to hear. It says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish or destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill." In this statement, Jesus is clarifying his relationship to the law of Moses. The next verses, Jesus gets very more specific, and he is contrasting his teaching with the many common interpretations of the law. What Jesus says reveals the true intent of the Old Testament law, rather than its legalistic interpretations. Do you think that legalism exists in our churches today? Do you even understand what legalism in the church is? See, legalism happens when we substitute our roles and our rituals for our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is talking about in the epistle lesson this morning. He has talked about us living according to our flesh, according to our human inclinations. So he means very much the same thing as Jesus is sharing in the gospel reading. We tend to substitute our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own desires in place of God's desire, God's will for us. But what we need to understand are those are subtle traps that Satan uses against us. We need to understand Satan has a lot of power here on earth. And he does things to take our focus off of God. And sometimes he does it in such a subtle, slow way that we don't even realize that we are being drawn away from God, drawn away from the relationship, the personal relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So sometimes that happens when we cling to the rituals, the people, and the traditions that we have, rather than opening ourselves to what God has for us. Remember the Pharisees? Do you remember how they took God's Ten Commandments and they made 613 rules that people were to follow, that they made to be in line with those Ten Commandments? 613 man-made rules. Now, can you imagine me handing you a list of 613 rules and saying, you know what, if you want to be a member of Wesley United Methodist Church, we just took in two new members today. These are the rules that you have to follow. You have to abide by all 613 of these rules. See, that's not what being a Christian is about. Being a Christian is about relationships. It's about first and foremost our relationship with our triune God and about our relationship with others. Not the type of relationship of I belong to or I follow so-and-so, but it's a relationship that is built on love. Love for one another. It's about where is your heart? Who does your heart belong to? What do our hearts reflect? do our hearts belong to, and do they reflect the love of Jesus Christ for the world? Do we follow Jesus? Or do we follow our heart's desires in the human flesh? Jesus tells us it's wrong to murder someone. But he goes on to say, even if you're angry with your brother or your sister, you're going to be held liable for that judgment. Now we know we all get angry, don't we? Is there anybody here who has never been angry in their life? It's human nature, isn't it? Even Jesus got angry. Do you remember when Jesus got angry? Jesus got angry when he went into the temple and people that were there selling. He wasn't angry because they were selling. Jesus knew that people traveled great distances, that when they got there, they would have to buy the animal sacrifice that they would need. What he got angry about was that people were taking advantage of other people. That they were there to sell those animals for sacrifice, but what they were doing is they were overcharging and they were padding their pockets. He was angry about their greed and what that greed led to. It led to their actions of taking advantage of others. So the question is for us, I have lots of questions this morning, by the way. What are we feeling? And what does it lead to? What are we feeling, and what does it lead to? I'd like us to go back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. I'd like us to go back to the very first family that God created, Adam and Eve, and their sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. Cain offered God a portion of his harvest, while Abel offered his very best, a firstborn, unblemished lamb. God accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. What happened? Cain became very upset, didn't he? He became very angry. And in that anger, he killed his brother. The Lord said to him, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And if it is your desire, you should rule over it." See, God didn't prefer Abel's offering because it was a lamb. He preferred it because it was the very best that Abel had, and that's what he gave to the Lord. Had Cain given the very best of what he had to offer, his offering would have been accepted. God would have been just as pleased with Cain's offering. He wasn't saying, because yours is a grain offering, it's less value. He's saying, you did not give me your very best. But Cain's heart thought to himself, I don't need to give God my very best. I just need to give God something. And when God did not accept just something, it led Cain to anger. And that anger led him to murder. So it all began in what some may see as something small, a becoming angry. We aren't told much, but we can assume there are a lot of narrative gaps in Scripture, aren't there? We can assume that what Cain gave God was not only not his best, but it was probably not thought out well either. He was just thinking that he needed to give the Lord something. So what if Cain would have realized that that's not what God wanted? He didn't want just something, but he wanted Cain's best of what he had. And Cain would have confessed his sin. If he would have said, "Lord, I am sorry for failing you to give the best of my crops." Do you think God would have forgiven him? Do you think it would have led him to become so angry to murder his brother? And even if he did become angry, maybe angry at himself for not offering God his very best, but he went to God and he said, "God, I am angry. Help me to deal with this anger." Do you think God would have helped him deal with that? Yes, he would have. So even if he hadn't confessed his sin for failing to give God his best, but he would have confessed his sin of anger, God would have helped him resolve that anger. But he didn't. And so his anger continued to grow until it led him to murder. That sin of murder began with something that was so much simpler to deal with. Isn't that often how it is with us? Sometimes what we do is we look at our sin and we compare our sin and we say, "Well, you know, Lord, I might sin in this way, but that's small compared to how this person is sinning." God isn't telling us to look at the sin of others. He is telling us to look in our hearts and see where our sin is, what it is that we need to confess and give to him. Where is it in our lives that we have failed to give God the very best of what we are? The very best of the gifts and the graces that he has given us. Instead of saying, "Lord, I'm going to give you all that I have," we say, "Well, you know what, if I give the Lord just this much of my time, this much of my gift, I'm giving the Lord something, aren't I?" Failing to recognize that we're not giving him our best, which then leads us further into sin. Sometimes it's hard for us to recognize that sin in our life, which is why God sent us the Holy Spirit. Remember last week when I said that I felt that the Holy Spirit was a female figure? Well, I didn't share this with you, but I will today. Another reason I look at the Holy Spirit as being a female figure is the Holy Spirit doesn't let up on us. The Holy Spirit keeps nagging at us until we come to that realization of what God has for us. Now, I'm not saying that this little sin that leads us maybe into another sin is not valuable. I'm not saying there are degrees of sin, because I don't believe there is. A sin is a sin is a sin. Because any sin we commit is a sin that separates us from God. Any unconfessed sin separates us from God. But I also believe any unconfessed sin can keep us from bringing others into that personal relationship with Jesus. And the reason I think that is Jesus tells us what's in our hearts is what's in our thoughts and what's in our words and what's in our deeds. In the scripture we heard in our epistle lesson this morning, Paul talks about who we are and who we follow. He tells us that we are not to follow one another. But I think it's important for us to remember we need one another. Not to follow one another, but to be together with our brothers and our sisters. But we need to understand it's not us who can transform people's lives. We can't even transform our own lives, as Paul tells us. But if our hearts belong to Jesus, if we have confessed our sin and accepted him as our Savior, that transformation happens in our lives. And with it comes growth. And as we continue to confess our sin, we continue to grow in our faith and we continue to grow closer to God. And we begin to live as we are called to live. But that growth belongs to God when our hearts belong to Christ. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to fully and completely work in our hearts. You know what? We may never know the seeds that we plant. Remember, Paul talks about, I planted the seeds, Apollos watered them. We may never know the seeds that we plant in someone's life. We may never know the seeds that we have watered, but we also may never know who it is that we have kept from coming to Christ because we have not lived following Christ. So another question for us today is, who and what is in our hearts? Is Christ in our hearts? Is the love of Christ leading our hearts? Because see, God first and foremost wants our hearts. That's what he wants. Before he wants anything else from us, he wants our hearts. Because it is only when we give ourselves to him that he is able to transform us and he is able to use us. So may we take a deep look into our hearts. May we confess the sin that is in our lives, not looking at anyone else and saying, well, this sin is not like that person's sin. No, God doesn't want us to look at the sins of others. He wants us to look at the sin that we have in our life. He wants us to confess and repent of that sin, no matter how small or insignificant we may think it is. And then when we confess that sin and give it to him, it is replaced with his love. I would also ask that we would grasp the hands of our brothers and our sisters. That we would walk side by side with each other, not one going ahead to try and be a leader because we are all following Jesus Christ. But that we would grasp the hands of our brothers and our sisters, remembering that we are God's servants together. That we have been called to work together. And when we work together, hearts are transformed. Lives are changed. But not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Today we took in two new members. I would ask that we open our hands and invite them in to be part of this family, to be part of the greater family of God as we work to share that good news of Jesus Christ in a way that will bring others onto the path, onto the journey that leads to the cross of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, I do pray that each and every one of our hearts belong to you. And Lord, if there are any whose hearts do not, I pray that today's the day that they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, for those of us who have accepted him, I pray that we look deep in our hearts, that we look to see where there is sin, and we would confess that sin and give it to you and allow it to be replaced with your love. And Lord, I pray that we do open our hands to take hold of the hand of our brother and sister, and that we would walk together and we would work together so that your kingdom here on earth will grow disciples for the transformation of the world. And we pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.